Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Geek Town Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Dave Elliott, and on this episode, we feature FuseFX's Wayne England, a VFX supervisor on the Amazon series Utopia from Gone Girl writer Gillian Flynn. Based on the beloved British series of the same name, Utopia follows a group of young adults who have previously only met online that come together to try and get a hold of a cult underground graphic novel. However, their quest not only pins them as the target of a shadowy deep state organization, but also burdens them with the dangerous task of saving the world. The VFX team work together diligently to create exciting and realistic visuals that build the chaos and disasters that the young group of adults are forced to fight off. These exhilarating effects guide the story as it dives deeper and deeper into a dystopian nightmare. In the interview, Wayne discusses his work both behind the camera on set, working as the second unit director to prepare live scenes for VFX, and on the process of creating these effects with his team through the use of lighting, shading, and composition to make it as realistic as possible. Along with his work on Utopia, Wayne discusses his work helping with the amazing tsunami episodes of 9-1-1 and also working on HBO's phenomenal Watchmen series. His next project sees him joining the MCU working on Loki for Disney Plus. I did try to get some information out of him about that, although not massively successfully. If you'd like to hear more behind the scenes interviews, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast by searching for Geek Town Radio. This will also give you our weekly Geek Town Radio podcast, which brings you all the latest TV, film, and gaming news. You can also go to the website at geektown.co.uk for daily news stories and all the latest UK and US TV premiere dates. Here's the interview with FuseFX's VFX supervisor, Wayne England.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's lovely to be able to chat with you about Utopia. I think you're the second person from FuseFX that I've spoken to. I did John Heller for The Outsider.
Oh, yeah. John Heller. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I finished watching Utopia last night as well, which I really enjoyed. Somewhat controversial show in the UK, given that it's based on the UK version. And it seems that there are a number of UK fans who will not accept it at all.
I bet you that is the case.
Yes.
I mean, because there's the original and then there's the duplicate. It's kind of like The Office, right?
Yes.
Similar thing from The Office. Well, yeah. American one, it can't be as good. But you have different camps. Different camps emerge, right?
Yeah. Personally, I mean, I love the original. I really like this version as well. I think it's nicely updated. They've made enough changes so it's not identical. I think they've done a really lovely job with it, and I really enjoyed it. Before we get into the show itself, how about a little bit of background? I can tell by your accent you're not American. So where do you come from originally, and how did you get into the industry?
Born in Blackburn, Lancashire. I only lived there for 6 weeks. I was raised in Hertfordshire.
Right.
Moved to America when I was 18. Went to university and realized that the computer graphics is just so many possibilities. And so that I studied that. I ended up going to Cal Arts, which is a college over here with music composition and computer graphics, but visual effects, computer graphics, visual effects took the dominant role. And I started in LA in 1995 working on a show called Space Above and Beyond.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And we did a tiny bit of X-Men, you know, at that company, the same people were involved. Those were the writers of X-Men who did that show. And we got nominated for an Emmy. So that was a nice early thing in my career. But went on to work at Digital Domain. And then I started my own company and was working with Method Studios and a lot of the post houses around town, providing kind of like a complete visual effects 3D solution for a lot of studios. I ended up working on the film 2012.
Yes.
With a great group of people, really strong ensemble, made a lot of good connections there. And that was a great experience. And from there, I started a company, and that company merged into a company from China. It was bought by a company from China. And so I was working with them for a while here. And then I worked on a number of projects along the way there, but ended up working as a VFX soup on Watchmen.
Yeah.
To kind of jump ahead, you know, make it so short. That was a fantastic experience, as you can imagine. And, yeah. And whilst I was on Watchmen, I was contacted by Dave Altenau, the CEO of Fuse, and he was inquiring if I might be interested in working on a project. And we just had some great conversations and met the team at Fuse. And what was on tap was Utopia. They were, put that forward for me to come in and essentially post-supervise, because most of the shooting had already been done. And
right.
there was still some that remained. That was my intro to the project.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so you've not been at Fuse all that long then, I guess.
A little over a year.
Yeah.
A little over a year, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. There was a little bit of a hiatus with Utopia. So
yeah.
It didn't start right away. And so I ended up working on American Horror Story and a few other shows.
Yeah, I saw you did Castle Rock and the Tsunami episodes of 911 as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Lots of fun, you know. So it's been a great experience at Fuse. And so then, yeah, Utopia kicked in. But yeah, that was the orientation.
Yeah. Yeah. Great show to get your hands on. It's an interesting one as well, because I would call it a show of hidden VFX, really, because, I mean, there are obvious things like, you know, people getting killed in various quite gruesome ways in Utopia, but a lot of the effects on that show aren't that obvious, unlike maybe something like Watchmen or American Horror Story, where you can see a bit more about where the effects are. So do you want to just explain and talk me through some of the work you did do on Utopia?
Yeah, you know, and to your point, Jason Piccioni, another VFX soup, we were talking the other day, and he says, oh, I watched the first two episodes and I didn't see any visual effects.
No.
Nice job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to your point, it's the extension of environments that you
yeah.
don't recognize and you don't realize what we've done. And we had a lot of driving comps as well. So when they're in a car, there's quite a few scenes when they're in their cars. And so something you wouldn't realize, but they were just in a green screen car.
Right.
And so we do all the reflections in the windows and all the environments driving by. And there were three big scenes that were the biggest set extensions. One of them was the interior Simpro factory. That was where you see all the workers inside when they stop the meat.
Right.
You know, the FBI come in, they stop the meat.
Yeah.
That was a really fun one for me because, like I was saying, most of the shooting had been done, but they still had a couple of episodes to go when I came on board. I wasn't in Chicago though. So we were looking at all the footage, of course, as it was coming in, and you know, I was having dialogue with the on-set VFX soup. But what emerged was that there was going to need to be, for the entire season, an elements shoot day. So that was for all the shots that needed additional footage or elements to be inserted into the shots, for
right.
the shots to be complete, missing components of shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some exchanges with Robin Sweet, the head of production in Chicago, and I ended up flying to Chicago and directing the second unit for the element shoot day.
Wow.
And that was a great experience for me. I mean, I have a little bit of directing in my background, yes. So that was a challenge. And it was a wonderful experience to go and have 30 extras, have the crew for the day, and just to get done what we needed to get done. So there was a lot of pre-planning involved with that.
Yeah.
But the point being is that one of the big components was the Simpro factory interior, because it was a huge sprawling space in which we had to populate it with factory workers. You know, a guy on a forklift, a guy pulling stuff, you know, people walking with trays, people pushing trays. And so there was a lot of pre-planning for that needed to take place. for all of the other shots, but specifically the Simple Factory, to have people on different heights and shoot them at different heights.
Right.
But so that was one of the visual effects that...
When you're doing a shot like that, are you shooting them basically on green screen so you can then just kind of cut them out and stitch them back into a digital background? Is that what you're doing with that?
In that instance, yes. So we had a green on the floor where that made sense. We knew we were going to be doing some roto, but we had a backdrop of green for all of these different angles. And we had some scaffolding built so we could get the right heights.
Right.
For people that were on, you know, multiple floors, you need to have that right angle for them. And we only had so much space as well.
Hmm.
It worked out great. We had a great shooting day and happy combos as well, because we got all the elements that we needed to integrate into the shot. Yeah, it came out well.
Yeah, I mean, I would not have known at all that that was a VFX shot. I mean, it's one of those things where when you think about it, you think, well, yes, it probably must have been, but there is no way you'd know just by looking at it. It's a great piece of work. I'm assuming that the warehouse shot at the end with all the virus vials was also, just because of the logistics of it, I guess, had to be a VFX shot. So what were you doing for that?
That one was a whole lot of fun because they had built, they had rows of boxes just all in place.
Yeah.
And they had gone through, you know, Rainn Wilson's character had gone through and smashed. They all had a bit of fun on the forklift breaking it up because they were trying to smash as much as they can.
Yeah.
And we were also referred to a YouTube footage of a poor guy who was in a factory.
Yeah.
You've seen it? Yeah.
And he kind of knocks one of them and it just the whole thing collapses.
Domino effect.
Yeah.
And so that was what they were targeting. And we had to basically replace everything for the big primary shots.
Yeah.
Including everything that was right next to them. Because if you recall, at the very climactic moment, you know, he triggers the domino effect. He hits a beam. And, you know, we had to work out how it makes sense for the domino effect to actually work as well. So the idea was that he had hit a beam and it unhinged the scaffolding or the support bar.
Right, yeah.
And then the weight of the shelf came over and then pulled on the next one, unhinging that one. And that's how the domino effect, you know, they were all just the weight of them falling in was unhinging the next one and off it goes. But yeah, those shots where the whole thing is collapsing, that was entirely CG, including the ceiling.
Wow.
So it was a complete environment replacement. And we had the very, very foreground boxes. But yeah, so it was a task of real precision with regard to the timing as well of all the boxes, because we had to animate the shells in a certain way to allow the boxes, which was a simulation, to ride on the animation so that the boxes would simulate and fall under the laws of physics.
Right,
And collide naturally. So it was a lot of fun, though. And we had a wonderful team. You know, Wayne Hollingsworth was our effects soup, and Christian Gonzalez, our CG soup, overseeing the animation, and Heather McAuliffe, the comp supervisor. I mean, together, collectively, they were just superb at getting us to the point where we needed to get relatively quickly. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun doing that sequence.
Yeah, again, it's a great sequence. And if you weren't thinking about it, you were just watching it. Again, you wouldn't know that was a CG sequence at all. It just logically it had to be. But yeah, I mean, there are a few other bits in the show which are more obvious have to be VFX. But I mean, they could, I guess, be practical. But things like Wilson's eye socket, I imagine.
Yes.
You know, so how did you go about having to create that?
Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm going to say fortunately, I had to do a lot of research on eyes and eye, you know, empty eye sockets to look at the structure. You know, because we got relatively close in those initial moments after it had been excavated.
Yes.
And so we ended up taking aspects of three different images as our reference upon which to make our 3D build. And we had a really good initial result with, you know, full lighting that looked really fantastic. It made people squeamish when they saw it. you know, the people were making inverts, usually making a little bit of an involuntary note. I was like, oh, when they saw the image. But we had to take that and integrate it into the shot, into the lighting, so that it felt, of course, integrated into the cabin where they were. So we had our HGRI light, you know, of course, for the to capture the internal lighting of the cabin. But it was about balancing, you know, that we needed to get the details as much as we didn't see anything near of how much we had seen when we had initially made it. So it was all about bringing out the necessary components to express the degree of realism, because it was all about hyper-realism. Mm-hmm. And that was fundamental aim, I think, as it should be for any VFX super. You know, working on a show like this for Amazon, you want to target extreme quality in effects you're making, the realism. So it's a real attention for us on details to realize that fidelity and to see how far we could push it. And so that was, I think, a really strong result. And there were like 78 or so of those eye socket shots with Wilson, you know, because later in different episodes, he's unbandaging his eye in the car and we get to see it then. And so it worked out well. Yeah. So we had about 14 hero shots that were fully 3D, 14 or 15. And then we had a procedure for kind of like doing a bunch of different camera angles of perspective camera angles.
Right.
Like, you know, about 60 or 70 of these different unique angles that would work of the original eye, the 3D socket. So we had a library of angles, and that was a resource for comp artists for the further away shots to source the correct angle for the shot. And of course, with all the AOVs and passes the comp artists had, they were able to bring out the correct lighting felt integrated appropriately for the shot.
Yeah. I mean, you forget just how many little things, like, you know, he moves it slightly or he lifts it up or something, and suddenly, oh, that's another VFX shot you got to
put in. That's right. Yes.
So, I mean, obviously there are other things in there, like, you know, you've got people getting shot on multiple occasions. So I imagine you're adding blood splatter or bullet wounds and that sort of stuff. Was there any other big things that you want to mention that you did on it?
Well, when the house, they were at the farmhouse and they set it on fire and it exploded. That was a big couple of shots there.
Yeah.
It was the explosion out of the window when she's walking out of the porch. And they'd done a little practical one that had a lot of nice detail, but it wasn't big enough at all. Right. It only just came out of one window. And so we studied the practical one. When the fireball died out, it rolled up and was rotating in and of itself. It went up into smoke. And so we used that as our target and ended up being able to replicate a much bigger explosion that came up both of the windows. But it was also a fireball, and we got it to roll up as well as it went up and have the pieces, the shrapnel of the windows come out and land on the lawn. So that was another, I felt like, a really strong result.
Yeah.
And then the shot that follows, you know, she gets in the car and they drive away. That was a challenging shot because we had to recreate quite a lot of the scene, like the road. We had to paint the road and do a sky replacement behind all the trees. And then they had one practical fire in the lower window that looked really, really good. And so our target was to replicate the appearance of the practical fire that they had already in all of the other windows. But that all factored in the shot. Basically, we're hovering above the car and then the car leaves us and we're just left looking at the house and the vista of the sky. And that was a big shot because there was a lot of work in comp to make it work in terms of the motion, hovering over the car and all the cleanup of the plate and the fire itself. So that was a good one. Mm. Then we had the tent village.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Big sprawling tent village. So for that, we did do some fabric cloth dynamics because some of the shots were relatively close where we had to extend tents. There were a bunch of those shots. Mm. My favorite one was where a helicopter comes in at the beginning of one of the episodes and lands. And so it was a huge wide shot where we saw the whole expanse of the tent village, and we added over 100 tents.
Wow.
Close to 150 and over 100, easily 100 extras that were digi-doubles.
Wow.
And so we used an XSense suit that we have to do all the little movements and interactions for digidubbies. That's how we got them to move, motion capture system.
Right.
So that was another good one, another good set extension.
Yeah.
And then to your question, the blood, all of the shooting, you know, there is such a thing as blood choreography, you know, because you fundamentally, you want realism, of course, but it's always a balance between realism and, you know, dramatic effect.
Yeah.
And so you have to hit the right angles, but there's an art to that, to make it look like it's really happening and yet accentuated a little bit as well. That was another interesting component of the shuttle. You know, aside from the gore component of his eye, the gore component of the blood and the splats and how to make it feel just right. That was fun too.
Yeah. As I say, I really enjoyed it. And it was one of those things that I was sat watching it. And obviously I knew I was talking to you. So I was trying to keep an eye out for anything that I thought might be visual effects. And it was so hard to see anything other than the obvious stuff that I knew, like the eye and shooting things. And I knew there must be some set extensions in there. But I mean, just brilliant work, because I really wouldn't have been able to tell you where that was in the show.
No, so. That's great. Thank you. Yes.
So as well as Utopia, you mentioned you did work on Watchmen as well, which was an absolutely phenomenal series, particularly I know you did some work on This Extraordinary Being, which just a phenomenal episode. I mean, the entire thing was just an outstanding piece of work. I mean, that has more obvious effects in it in places. This Extraordinary Being was the one that had her sort of suspended in this black and white episode, wasn't it, that one?
That's right. And my favorite experience on the whole show. In fact, you just mentioned This Extraordinary Being, and oh yeah, I mean, I get goosebumps when I think, because I was getting goosebumps on set because I knew something really extraordinary was happening.
Yeah.
With the way they were telling the story, the issues that they were touching upon, and in a way that was so masterfully being addressed, you know, by Damon Lindelof. Mm. It was extraordinary. And such an honor to work with Greg Middleton and the director, Stephen Williams.
Yes.
Stephen Williams, yeah. And the whole cast, you know, the whole cast and crew is very, very high level of people I was lucky enough to be working with, you know, along with Eric Henry, who was the supervising, VFX supervisor for the show. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I remember at the end of the last shot with the first AD and Greg Middleton and Stephen Williams, we were standing there together. We just wrapped the last shot. And I said, you know, I'm going to say something controversial right now. And I said, I think we just wrapped an historic work of cinematic art.
Yes.
And Greg Middleton was like, oh, jinx, you know, but we knew something really unique had happened. And I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
That particular episode as well was unique in how it went there in addressing the issues within the context of the whole show, of course, but just amazing. Such an honor to be involved with that.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal series. We actually interviewed Greg for it as well.
Great guy.
Just fabulous. And the show itself, it's rare you can actually point at a TV show and say that is a work of art, but it really, really is. I mean, there were a few shows which are just absolutely outstanding, and that is just head and shoulders above so much other things that are out there right now. I thought that was phenomenal, that series.
Yeah, agreed. Wonderful.
The other thing which we touched on slightly, 911, you got to destroy Santa Monica Pier with a tsunami.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I was invited by John Massey, the VFX soup of the show, to work with he and Tony, the producer, and assist with, it was like three episodes that came in to assist with the tsunami.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, once the wave had hit, we were left with the Ferris wheel and all of those shots where they were going out to the Ferris wheel. And there were a few other shots, but that's what I recall, is that the main sequence of the guys coming out to the Ferris wheel, and that whole sequence is what I was overseeing. And that was a lot of fun too. Partially it was nice because I had a visual effects background as a fluid dynamics specialist back in the day.
Yeah.
And I did a Gnomon DVD for RealFlow 4 back in the day when I was working with Sway Studios.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was nice to contribute in the ways that I could to that episode. And it turned out really, really, really nicely, you know, because of the congested schedule.
Yeah.
There's challenges, you know, when the schedule is congested in that way. So it was fantastic to see and be a part thought of the infrastructure at Fuse, where it's such a well-functioning machine that is able to ingest all of this data and move on it in such an effective way, you know, with Nucleus, the in-house pipeline software that they have is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
What it enables. Yeah. So really good infrastructure and a really effective pipeline to get a lot of shots out at high quality and in fast time. So that was a lot of fun, that episode.
Yeah. Came out brilliantly as well. I adore that show. One of the best procedurals out there, I think. In terms of other stuff coming up, one of the things I know you're working on is Loki, which I know you will. I can feel sniper rifles from Marvel on you already. So I know you won't be able to say anything. Just wondering, is any of that shot using the volume, the green screen system, or are they shooting on location and stuff for that?
All I can say is that they're shooting again. I think that's, I can't say anything really about Loki.
I don't want to get you in trouble. I thought you might be able to say whether they'd use the volume for it or not, but
I haven't been on set myself, so I'm, you know, we're doing post shots here, but I'm not aware of that particular question. Yeah.
Okay, can't really ask you much about Loki, but out of what you've seen, is it excellent?
I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Good.
I mean, I can say that much. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yes. Yeah. One of my co-hosts, Bex, her dream job would be able to sit and stare at Tom Hiddleston and manipulate him all day. I think that would be her perfect job. So I assume that's what you're working on at the moment.
Yes.
I know you did the DMZ pilot as well.
Yes. Worked on a whole lot of previs
for
the opening moments of the show. So that was fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward. I don't think that's officially got picked up to series yet, but that would be interesting to see whether that goes anywhere. Last couple of questions for you. First question is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
I've been watching documentaries, really. I've been watching some really great documentaries. The Social Dilemma is one.
Haven't watched that yet, but it looks good.
That's pretty great. Capital in the 21st Century is another. That's good. In terms of other shows, I'm so busy at the moment. I haven't been watching shows. But obviously, I took delight in watching Watchmen. And I'm almost finished with watching the episodes of Utopia. So that's fun. Those are the ones at the moment.
I keep on meaning to watch the Social Dilemma documentary. I haven't got to it yet, but I'm looking forward to that. And if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, can be something from the past, can be something on air right now, or some sort of future genre, which TV show would it be? And it can't be one you've already worked on.
You know, Game of Thrones would have been fantastic.
Yes.
That would have been tons of fun.
Well, they have got the prequel series coming, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be something like that. Or, you know, the shows that I'm really interested in, that I get inspired by, and, you know, when I'm working and you feel like you have that extra wind in your sails, is when there's shows that are working on relevant issues. So somehow there's a relevancy.
Yes.
Where you feel like, you know, the work is important.
Yeah.
You know, that. I mean, you could say that for Utopia, because it's the themes that it's touching on.
Yeah.
Social disinformation,
pandemic as well, of course.
Pandemic, vaccine, uncertainties. And of course, Gillian Flynn, she holds no punches. And she's, right on the nose with so many of these issues that are relevant questions and concerns for today. And she's playing with them all.
Yeah.
And same with Watchmen.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime there's a show that has a theme that is relevant to disrupting and awakening people and having people think again. Maybe awakening people isn't the right way to say it, but
yeah, I know
it shows that are socially disrupted in constructive ways.
Yeah.
That's what really inspires me.
Yeah. You've definitely worked on two ones that definitely do that, I think. So hopefully you'll get more in the future.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of other shows that could happen, I have a love for sci-fi. And I also, you know, shows that I'm really interested in, the UFO phenomenon, you know, the contemporary UFO. Or everything that's unfolding. I think that there's so much order there to use, you know, for shows. There's so many themes, because there's a lot of emerging information on that that's controversial and deeply significant, perhaps, as well. Right?
Yeah, cool. I'm going to let you go, but thank you for spending a little bit of time to talk through some stuff. We'll have to get you back on when Loki comes out, and you can talk through some of the stuff on that, because that'd be amazing.
Tons of fun. It's been great. Lots of fun talking with you.
Have a great day. It'd be lovely chatting with you. Hopefully we'll talk again in the future.
I look forward to it.
Cheers.
Yes. All right, all the best.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.